So as a little girl, growing up in Kansas, I attended Sunday school. And it was because our daddy, Deacon Smith, made us. And in that Baptist church, in Sunday school, they taught us scripture. And one of the scriptures I remember them teaching us was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, although I had memorized a scripture, I could recite this scripture, I don't think I really knew what that scripture meant. Now, granted, I thought, I'm going to heaven. And you know, that's like most people. Because a lot of times you hear people say, when someone dies, oh, they've gone on to a better place. Or, oh, they got their wings and now they're my guardian angel. That is utterly preposterous. Revelation 21 and 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So everybody ain't going to heaven. And although I don't know exactly when God created the angels, but in Job 38, God said, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now he was talking about the angels. And so basically what he was saying was, when I laid the foundation of the earth, the angels were there rejoicing. When he laid the foundation of the earth, the angels were there rejoicing. And I said that because when you turn to Genesis 1 and 26, and this is day 6 of the creation, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So the angelic host was already created from the foundation before man was created. So there's not that man will become an angel when they die, or men will become angels when they die and have wings. That just isn't true. But if this helps, and I'm just going to throw this last one in. 1 Corinthians 15 and 40 says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So as a believer, I have a completely different understanding of John 3:16. I have a completely different understanding of, it's not that I just go to heaven. You know, that's a good thing. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to go to hell. But as I said, you know, man comes up with these ideas. They've gone to a better place. Well, no. If they're an unbeliever, they did not go to a better place. If they're an unbeliever, they have gone to hell. And that is not a better place. So as a believer, we have to look at what is it that we believe. As a believer, we believe in substitution and identification. And what that means is Jesus was our substitute. He died in place of all of humanity. As I mentioned earlier, not because of anything that he did, but he died for the remission of all mankind's sin. And so he took the punishment of our sin upon him, therefore paying the sin debt that we owe to God, not to the devil, but that we owe to God because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And it's because of his substitution that he did for man, the justice of God was satisfied. Because the wages of sin is death. And we cannot pay that price ourselves. But Jesus paid that price for us on Calvary. And then we identify with the righteousness and with his death. His sacrifice is accredited to our account, meaning what he did, how he lived his life sinlessly, that gets put on Sister Lincoln's books so that when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see the sin that I carry, the sin that I've already done, the sin that I'm going to do. But what he sees is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What he sees is the righteousness of Jesus. And it's because of that, I can identify with him and be in the same place that he is. Now, some of y'all may be thinking, well, Sister Lincoln, you're a little bit late because Easter was a couple of weeks ago. But you know, it's like I always say, I don't have to wait until December 25th to identify with the birth of Jesus to receive salvation. But salvation is a gift that we can receive any day of the year. And I don't have to wait until, I might have to read this, the first full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox. That's how Easter is determined. To have my sins atoned for. But I can do that 365 days a year. I don't have to wait for that one day. And so we have to see that by identifying with Jesus, we are in a special place. We have a different position in life. Now, I don't want to take anything away from the crucifixion because the cross was needed. No, the cross is needed because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I don't want to take away from the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, when he got up, that said that God accepted his sacrifice. When his shed blood went into the Holy of Holies, and it was sprinkled on the mercy seat, the Father accepted that sacrifice. So the crucifixion and the resurrection is much needed. Because we wouldn't be here without either or. But what I want to do, and I'm not trying to be deep, so don't leave here thinking, ooh, she got another revelation. Nope, I just got the word. What I want to do is help us to look a little bit further, to look beyond the cross, to look beyond the resurrection, and to look to where Jesus is right now. Now see, the crucifixion, we say this all the time, the crucifixion wasn't the end. Because when we say that, we're saying something about the resurrection. But see, the resurrection wasn't the end either. Because there's a place that Jesus went to that he said, where I go, you can be also. And that's what I want to look at this morning. That place. Where is Jesus right now? You know, we're always quick to say, oh, he lives in my heart. And he does. He lives inside of me. And he does. But if you turn to Colossians 3, turn, swipe, that still makes me giggle. We can see that Jesus is alive, alive, alive forevermore. You know, and I don't know if that stuck in my spirit because I spend time with my grandgirls in worship. And one of the songs that we sing a lot is Alive, Alive, Alive Forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. You know, and it's not just a song. It's not just words, but it's a reality. It's a reality that as a believer, I identify with. It's a reality that tells me that, like I said earlier, he said where he is, I can be also. And here in Colossians 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then these verses call us to have a completely different mindset than what we have. You know, we look at this scripture, set your affections on things above, and we think about, come out from the world. You know, get your mind on things of God. And yes, get your mind on things of God, but what thing of God are you getting your mind on? And that is first, we need to realize that we have been risen with Christ. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. Baptized, come back up. So we've been risen with Christ in the same way that he was risen. But it says, seek those things which are above. When you are seeking for something, I like to call it, you're hunting it down. You're looking for it. You're not accepting that, oh, it's not here, so I'm going to go on about my business. But you're spending time, you're putting forth some effort to seek for whatever it is that you're looking for. And we should seek for those things which are above. And the thing that I want us to be seeking for that is above is the fact that Christ is seated on the right hand of God. We sung about this earlier. There is one seated on the throne. Only one seated on the throne. Nobody else can take that seat that Jesus occupies. Now, if I am in him and I'm in the same place that he is, then I'm seated there with him, with the Father. Now, that does not cause me to be arrogant. Because you know how sometimes we can get a little bit arrogant, thinking I'm better than somebody else because I believe this way. But this isn't a call for us to get arrogant. This is a call for us to see where Jesus is, to see the fact that because he is seated on the right hand of the Father, he is seated in power, he is seated in authority, he is seated in dominion, and he has all power. So if we understand that he has all power, if we're identifying with him, if we're saying we're in the same place that he is, then when the storms hit our life, when we're going through a trial, why is it that we cannot see that he has already paid the price for what it is? So we are to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, he's not just above the clouds. He's not in some space out there with the stars. You know, that's his creation. But he's seated at a place with the Father, which is above all. Now, keep in mind, he's not below the Father. He's not above the Father. But he's seated at the right hand of God. He's in the highest place of honor and dignity. You know, Jesus told a parable one time about a supper. And he said, when you go in, don't take the place of honor. Take the place of humility. And then when the host of the supper comes in, he can exalt you. And see, that's how we are as believers. We need to first take a place of humility so that God can exalt us. Because we want to be the high and mighty and exalted one. We want to walk around with our chest out to here and our head out to here and our shoulders up to here. But let's take a place of humility, seeing that it's only that we have this position because Christ died on the cross. It's only that we have this position because he said, where I am, you may be also. It's not anything that we do within ourselves. But this is what we seek for. We seek and we ask God, Lord, how can I be more like you? How can I allow myself to die out more daily? How can I esteem my brother higher than I am? And you know, one thing about him being seated on the throne, when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, what do y'all think that meant? It is finished. There is nothing else that needs to be done. All of his work had been completed. Now, when you look at the high priests, when they would go into the Holy of Holies, there was no furniture there because they weren't sitting down because their work was not complete. They would have to go back into the temple every year and offer up lambs and goats and bullocks, turtle doves. And they had to continue to work. But Jesus, being our high priest, he went in that temple one time. He offered up his blood one time. And then it was finished. There was nothing else that needs to be done. It is finished. And because it is finished, that allows him to have that seat where he can sit down because he didn't have to do any more work. His work was completed when he laid down his life on Calvary. So he is seated at a position of authority. He is seated at a position of power, saying that all of his work has been completed. And I like the fact that because he is seated there, I can be seated with him. Because to be honest, if it depended on me to be able to get there, I wouldn't get there. If it depended on you to get there, you wouldn't get there. But the bottom line is, it isn't dependent upon us. It's not because of anything we've done, but it's because of the love of the Father that the Father has for us that allows us to be in that position to be seated at the right hand. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. This is not saying that you walk around and you don't take care of your family. You don't get a job. You don't take care of your kids. You don't do any upkeep. Because, you know, a lot of times people like to take the stance that I'm so deep. My mind is in heavenly places. And, you know, and that's where that old saying says that you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. We should be heavenly minded, but we still have to take care of certain responsibilities here on the earth. But when you become heavenly minded, your heavenly mind is going to keep you reaching out and stretching forth and trying to get closer to the Lord and try and get more in his word and deeper in prayer. That's how we set our affections on things above. Because you will find that when you have that quiet time, when you have that prayer time, when you have that study time, that's when God can speak to you. See, when you up and running around town and watching this game, that game, the other game, or this show, that show, what the other show, you don't have time for God to actually talk to you. You know, we're all quick to say, oh, I want to hear from the Lord. Look, he gave us 66 books. You can hear from him in every page of every one of those books. But we have to spend time in order to do it. We have to be able to put ourselves in that position. Because when we hear from God, oh, let me just say this. Because a lot of times, God can speak to us, but we don't want to hear what he's saying. Because what he's saying isn't agreeing with what we want. So we kind of push that one aside. But that doesn't mean he's not speaking. But to be able to have that time, to be able to spend that time and just open up and get in his word and get in prayer and get under the word, the preaching of the gospel, because faith cometh by hearing. And the more that you hear God's word, the more that you're going to have faith. And then that faith will take you from faith to faith to faith to faith. You know, and we can be like David. You know, we all like to talk about David and Goliath. That's a kiddie story, but that's not a kiddie story. Because David stepped out on faith. He remembered that God had delivered him when the bear came. He remembered that God had delivered him when the lion came. And because here Goliath was standing up against the army of God, he said, no, this ain't gonna work. And he took that faith where God had delivered him before. He reached back there at the same time he was reaching down there getting them five smooth stones. But he reached back on his faith. And that's what he ran out to Goliath with, is a faith that God had done something for him. Had he not had that faith, he would not have anything to go in. And I'm saying that if we do not use our faith, if we do not stand on our faith, then we have nothing to stand on. But we can stand on our faith and seek a deeper relationship with the Lord, where we can set our affections on things above, where we can look to what God has for us in the future. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Now this is an interesting one. For ye are dead, we can all relate to, because we know that when we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We know that when he died on the cross, we died with him. When he went into the tomb, we went with him. When he rose from the dead, we rose with him. But it says your life is hid with Christ in God. If our life is hid in Christ, then that means the light that is shining out of our life ought to be the life of Jesus. The light of Jesus should be what's shining out. Because if you take a light and you have a bright light and you're standing, holding it in front of you, what the person on the other side sees is the light. They don't see you. All they see is the light. And that's how our life should be. Our life should be so hid in Christ that what the world sees is the light of the life of Jesus Christ being manifested out of us. Our life is hid in him. And so we need to let the world see his light. You know, this is a sensitive area here. But it's something that is near and dear to my heart. When it says, for ye are dead, I take a different outlook on death than a lot of people. You know, I love the scripture in Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Because that tells me that one day, whether I'm standing here breathing like this, or whether I'm in the grave, I'm going to be caught up to be with him in the air. So although death looks ugly on this side of the grave, the reality of it is, it is so much more beautiful on the other side of the grave as a believer. And I think I mentioned that earlier. And so what we need to look at as believers is that we are dead, not just a spiritual death that has taken place, but at some point in time, we are going to have a physical death that is going to take place. But even when that physical death takes place, what is waiting for us is much better than anything that we possibly have on this side. You know, I'm 66 now. I always go, I wear it well. However, when I get that cramp in my leg, or I get up and, you know, got to take a minute because my joints are just a little bit stiffer than they used to. Or, you know how you got that spot in your back and it starts to itch and you can't reach it? That's why I have a back scratcher. You realize you are getting older. And there's nothing that stops getting older other than death. But this body, from the day that we were born, began to corrupt. We have lived in a constant state of corruption. So that causes us to have those pains and those pings and those crickets. But when I get one of those, I think one day, I don't know when it's going to be. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And some of y'all know I've already asked God for 30 years because I want to see my grandgirls grow up. 30 years down the road. But even if it is 30 years down the road, well, now I still got these creaks and crooks and, you know. But one day, this body, this corruptible shell, this flesh is going to take on incorruption. I will not have any more pain. I will not have any more sorrow. I will not have any moments of, give me just a second. Yeah, what was that? Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Walk in the room and go, what did I come in here for? No more. None of that will exist. Because we are dead in Christ. And by identifying of that death, we can look at the beauty that awaits us. You know, I don't know how to explain it. You have to take on a new mindset, a different mindset. You have to take on a different mindset and see that what we have down here, it may be good. We may have a good job. We may make good money. We may have a good house, a good car, good clothes. But it's nothing compared to the price that Jesus has paid and what we have. And so as we look at him being our life, When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, there's a place for believers. It's not just coming in on Tuesday night prayer, Wednesday night Bible class, Sunday, sitting here, sitting through the service, which all of that is needful. So don't nobody go home and say, well, I don't have to go no more. It is much needful. But there's so much more. There's so much more that we have when we realize that we're going into his glory. Christ is not just part of our life, but he is our life. And if we were to set our eyes on him, live for what lasts, and walk in resurrection power every day, we can see that he is our source. And it's only through him that we are able to set our affections on things above, to see him for who he is and where he is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning, and we just ask that you help us, Lord, to seek more of you. Help us to set our affections on things above, being your power, your authority, where you are. And God, just continue to keep your hand upon our lives. Would you stand to your feet, please? Lord, as we look to you, we ask for your guidance, your direction. Help us to see, Father, that this place is not our home. We are just passing through. This is just a journey that we're taking. And however many years we have down here, Lord, is just a short drop, just a small drop in the bucket as to how many years that we have in eternity. Help us to keep our eyes focused upon you and what you have done. And God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said that his word is spirit and life. When we have his word in us, it breeds spirit and life. When it's time for us to depart from here and spend eternity with him, it's spirit and life. We need his word. We have to have his word. We have to live off his word. We have to eat his word. He's a true manna. He said he's the bread of life. He lives forevermore. And if we want to live forevermore with him, we have to eat of him. We have to drink of him. His life. It's important for us to stay in his word. It's important for us to stay in communication with him, in prayer with him. This word reminds me of what I need to do every day when I wake up. I know I need to give the Lord more time. We all do. Amen. We have a few announcements. Well, one. Sorry about that. Just one announcement. If you haven't given already, we need your support. And for those that have given, we thank you for your support. We thank those that have joined us by webcast as well, too. And for any visitors that are here today, we appreciate you being out with us. Amen. Let's say a quick word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We understand how important it is to just spend time with you, Lord, and get to know you so that you can renew us day by day. Lord God, without you, we are nothing. And we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you, Father, that you have given us an opportunity to serve you. You are our master. You are our Lord. You are our King. You are our God. You are Alpha and Omega. And we will continue to trust you with everything, Lord God, with everything in our lives. As we depart from here, Lord God, but never departing from you, we ask that you keep us safe, and we need you throughout this week. We praise your holy name. We love you, and we thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.